Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, / afternoon, / evening, everyone. You're listening to another episode of The Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network, with your host, as always, Kevin Cunningham. Today's show starts off titled with March Madness. It's that time of year. March has rolled around. Selection Sunday is in 3 days, 4 days, something like that. Three days. Conference tournaments going on every tournament. At this point, 12 tournaments have concluded. So we've got 12 teams that are automatically have basically clinched their bid into the NCAA tournament. So that's exciting. Got another, I don't know how many left, but I'll be doing another show, obviously. Plan on doing shows for pretty much the rest of the week. And all throughout next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, once the tournament gets rolling around, basically whenever I have time to do a show every day from here on out, that's what I plan on doing, is talking about March Madness, because it's pretty much what the general basketball fan looks toward in terms of college basketball. You know, the regular season, you lose a game here, you lose a game there, it's whatever. It's not like football where every game truly matters, especially in college. Basketball, it's all about the NCAA tournament. So that's what the Basketball Truth will be all about for these next, at least, probably 10 days or so, maybe 11, 12, I don't know, maybe just the next month in general. We'll see what happens. Obviously, the NBA season is rolling along. Every team's got, I want to say, 20 or so games left. But in any case, you can follow us on Twitter, at RLSNBasketball. All of our stuff is over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com, which includes blogs, podcasts, all that good stuff. Also, not just basketball, but NFL stuff, baseball stuff. Got it all over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. Check that out. All of our archive shows, blog articles, stuff like that. Tomorrow I'll be throwing up an article on the site just going over Gonzaga and pretty much what they're all about this year. I'll get, you know, into them. It'll probably be the last team I talk about tonight, but I definitely plan on going more in-depth about them through writing. And that'll be up on the site tomorrow. Again, you can check us out over at on Twitter at RLSNBasketball. So, getting into tournament winners to this point. Again, there are 12 conference tournaments that have been wrapped up so far. As far as the next one goes, I think the earliest date the next one ends is the 14th. Which would be Saturday, pretty sure. Double checking now. Don't think any end on the 13th. Yep. Yeah, so the next, basically half of them that are left, end on Saturday, and then the rest end on Sunday, which makes for a fun time for the selection committee, placing all these teams depending on how they finish their conference tournaments. I'm guessing they have their work cut out for them, but it'd be fun, in my opinion. But maybe that's just me, college basketball nerd. But in any case, just going to run through basically the winners for the next 40 or so minutes. Before I do that, though, again, all of our stuff is over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com, blogs, podcasts. The top right of the page, got to give a shout-out to DraftKings. They are affiliated with us. We're affiliated with them. We help drive traffic to their site. Just a click and go logo over at DraftKings. NBA stuff, like I said before, that season's going on. You can play games against thousands of people, building your little fantasy lineups. I did it all throughout the NFL season, made a little money, had some fun. Obviously, whenever you make money, usually it's fun in regards to fantasy sports. But NBA season's rolling along, and so, you know, you can play games up to, I think it's hundreds, thousands of dollars, or you can set a lineup whenever you want for a quarter. So it's not as though you have to be rich to get into the whole DraftKings scene. But had to give a shout-out to them. Again, all of our stuff over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. So first team I'll touch on here is from the Atlantic Sun, the North Florida Ospreys. And my little notes on this team. They are 23-11 overall, 12-2 in the Atlantic Sun. Basically, offensively, they're a solid team. Points per game-wise, 26 in the country. Roughly, there are 350 teams. I think it's like 351 or 359 or something like that. There are roughly 350 teams out there. So, you know, they average 75 points a game. They can get up and down the floor. They shoot 39th as far as field goal percentage goes as a team. They rank 39th. They shoot just under 47% from the floor. Average over 14 assists a game. It's good for 59th. So offensively, they can score. At the same time, most of the games are in the Atlantic Sun. That's, you know, almost all these teams outside of, well, realistically all these teams that I'll be talking about today are smaller schools. Two of the bigger giants, so to say, even though they're not really giants, but from a small school perspective, Gonzaga and Northern Iowa are the two teams I'll touch on tonight that, you know, obviously have legitimate chances at making it to the second weekend. I also have to say that when describing the rounds and how far teams can go, the first round to me is literally the first, not the first four games, but it's the first round that includes the entire tournament. Finally, they're going to make away with the first four teams and first four games, I guess first eight technically, but the first four games, so to say, which take place, I think, the Tuesday and Wednesday after the brackets come out. So I guess next Tuesday and Wednesday against, you know, those 16 seeds. And then I want to say there are two 11s and two 12s that battle it out in those first four quote-unquote games. That's technically the first round. The second round is technically what it's called when you have the, you know, the field of 64 is set, not 68, which starts on Thursday. But so the first round to me is when the entire tournament plays. I'll call the first four games the first four. After this year, starting next year, the first round will again be what basically everyone considers the first round when all 64 teams are playing. This is the last year the first round is considered the first four games played. So, in any case, to make it to the second weekend, basically the Sweet 16, Gonzaga and Northern Iowa are the two teams that stand out from this group to this point that have clinched their tournaments. But so, you know, when breaking down these other teams, how many can make it to the Sweet 16? Probably a couple out of this group outside of Gonzaga and Northern Iowa. But realistically, they're in these extremely small conferences for a reason. I think that personally this year in college basketball, there are six. There's Kentucky. Then you got five extremely good teams. And then you've got Gonzaga, who can be extremely good. I would say they're a really good team. And then the rest of the field. I truly think it's those. You have Kentucky, and then you've got a group of really strong teams, and then the rest. And I would put Gonzaga at the end of those really good teams list. But so that's where the rest of these kind of smaller schools fit in, is with the rest of the field. That said, these teams, to predict that they're going to win multiple games. Honestly, I just don't see it this year because I do see a strong six or seven teams at the top that separate themselves from everyone else. Typically, honestly, these last 3 or 4 years, I've picked one 15 seed to beat a 2 every single year. Basically, I do that if I feel strongly about a 15 seed, obviously, if I think they're, you know, underseeded. And I think they should be, you know, a 10, 11, 9, and they're 15 just because they're from a smaller conference and people don't really, you know, understand who that team is. But this year, I highly doubt that's going to happen. Maybe whoever that worst 2 seed, quote unquote, is, because I do think there are 7 strong teams, and so whoever gets that 8 spot, which maybe Kansas, it might be the Big 12 winner. Maybe Northern Iowa squeaks in there. I'm not sure. But whoever that last 2 seed is, maybe that's the one or two seed I could see falling this year. But honestly, I think that the top 6 or 7 teams are extremely strong this year. So I won't be picking a 15 to beat a 2. Typically when I do that, also, not just because I feel decent about the 15 seed, but because I feel like the 2 seed is going to lose in the next round anyway, so why not? To lose out on 1 point in the first round, if you're doing a March Madness pool, really isn't going to make or break you. If it does, then I guess so be it. But for me, the last few years where I've picked 1-15 to upset a 2, because I think they're going to lose to that 7 or 10 seed in the second round anyway. So I'm taking a gamble on that 1 point. That's never bitten me. But if it does, then I guess I would have been pissed. But it hasn't happened. But so anyway, going off on that tangent. This North Florida team's solid offensively. Again, they're 23-11 overall. 12-2 in the Atlantic Sun, which is solid. But again, they're 23-11 overall. First game of the year, they went to South Carolina, lost by 25 points. They went to Northern Iowa a week later, lost by 17. They went to Florida State December 17th, gave up 93 points, lost by 16. Went to Iowa, lost. They had a 1-7 stretch from mid-December to January 2nd. Then they started league play, and that's where they went 12-2. Outside of league play, they were 11-9. This North Florida team is not that good. Yes, they put up good numbers against the Atlantic Sun, but as far as picking this team to upset a top dog, I'm not doing it. I'm steering clear. Again, solid offensively against bad teams, but they're not going to take down even a lowly 2 seed, so to say, like a Kansas or a Northern Iowa. They're not that good. Next team is Coastal Carolina, which comes out of the Big South. During the regular season, they were 12-6 in conference play. They were the 3 seed entering the conference tournament. They obviously won the conference tournament. That's why I'm talking about them. I believe they played, I don't have it up, but I know they played Winthrop in the final, who was 19-13. Obviously, that wasn't the 1 seed. I know they didn't have to play the 2 seed. I think they played like the 3, the 7, and the 9 or something in the Big South tournament. So it's not as though they pulled a couple upsets and proved that they were actually a solid team. They just got lucky and played a couple terrible teams, and Winthrop is decent, I guess, at 19-13. But Coastal Carolina didn't prove themselves in this conference tournament. They're 24-9, which is decent. But for a, you know, smaller school in a smaller conference like the Big South, 24-9 doesn't really impress me. These smaller school teams that win their conference, you know, you go 15-1, 16-0, 14-2, you dominate league play, and your overall record's like 27-5, then it's like, okay, let me look more into this team. I mean, I'm looking more into all these teams that I'm talking about tonight, but the ones that catch my eye are those teams that dominate league play, go like 28-5, you know, and show that they can compete with the big boys. This Coastal Carolina team didn't even run through their conference, really. They were 12-6. At Ole Miss, they only lost by 3. Ole Miss might make the tournament. Early in the season, they went to UCLA and lost by 13. Otherwise, they really don't have signature games on their schedule. They went to Auburn and won by 4, I guess. But Auburn's not a tournament team. So, this Coastal Carolina team in the country in rebounding. That's the one thing you can say about them. 24-9, 6th in the country in rebounding. So they can obviously hit the glass. Middle-of-the-road shooting team. Play at a fast pace, but they don't exactly shoot it well. So, again, this is a team that's big, so to say. They can rebound. But as far as taking down a juggernaut, I don't see it. Their leading rebounder is 6'7". Their second leading rebounder is also 6'7". So, yeah, they hit the glass, but it's not even necessarily with elite size. Coastal Carolina, it's another team like North Florida I'm out on. Next up, Northeastern, 23-11 overall. Again, that's you're 23-11 from the ACC. Interesting. Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, even. Interesting. From the Colonial Athletic Association, not really catching my eye when you're 23-11. You go 12-6 in league play, 231st in rebounds per game. They shoot it well at 48% as a team, but again, they're 23-11 for a reason. Went to Harvard, lost by 14. They actually went to Florida State and won by 3, their second game of the year, which second game of the year can only tell you so much, but it is a semi-impressive win. But again, 23-11 overall, they were the best team in the conference. So it's not even though as though they had the pull upsets. There are 4 teams that went 12-6 in conference play. They were the first of those 4. So Northeastern again, 23-11. I'm not buying them to pull an upset in the first round. Next up is a team that's actually somewhat interesting. Valparaiso, 28-5 overall. That's kind of what I'm looking for out of these smaller schools. Especially the Horizon League. 13-3 in league play. The Horizon League's never terrible. Usually the winner out of the Horizon League is a solid team. Whoever wins that tournament and represents the Horizon is never a bad team. They're never going to go into the first round and lose by 25 points. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, the winner from the Horizon League always somewhat catches my attention, and I want to look further into them. Seeing that Valpo is 28-5, something to take notice of. In the championship game, they played Green Bay, who's another decent team. Kiefer Sykes is a player that, if you don't know who he is, he'll probably be on an NBA roster, at least trying to fight for a spot at some point. So, you know, it's not as though they're beating down on garbage. It's the Horizon League. It's not terrible. Green Bay was 24-8. Again, not terrible. Valpo ranks 37th in rebounding. Again, 350 teams, pretty solid. Shoot the ball almost at 46% as a team, pretty solid. Down the stretch, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They went 15-2 in their last 17. They lost at Detroit, lost at Green Bay. The loss at Detroit was by 3. Loss at Green Bay was by 1. Loss at Oakland in overtime. Lost at Mizzou early in the year by 15, which raises an eyebrow. They also lost to New Mexico at home by 17 in early December, you know, against the bigger boys, so to say, even though New Mexico's, I don't even think they're going to make the tournament this year. But Valpo only lost one home game all year. Lost at Mizzou extremely early by 15, though, which is interesting because Mizzou is certainly not making the tournament this year. They're one of the worst teams in the SEC. But the one thing that Valpo can kind of hang their hat on is that they beat Green Bay in the regular season. They also lost to them on the road, so they split, but they beat them in the conference tournament, held them to 44 points. But the one thing, other thing they can hang their hat on is beating Murray State on a neutral court November 29th. That was in a tournament, I'm guessing. It was the second of a 3-game tournament, except I'm not sure why Portland made the final in that tournament. But I guess Valpo won that little 3-day tournament. But they beat Murray State by 35. So, you know, it's a team that has talent, obviously. You know, I don't expect them to, again, lose by 25 points in the first round. Depending on who they play, maybe they get a 13, a 14 seed, as opposed to a 15, 16. I'm sure they will. Maybe they can draw a 12, being 28-5 overall. But I would expect a 13 or 14 because of the record and representing the Horizon. Again, it's one of the better smaller conferences in Division I basketball. So, you know, they should draw a 3 or 4 seed in the first round. Maybe if that team has got some injuries, if they're heavily reliant on the 3, maybe Valpo can pull an upset. I don't know about 2 upsets, making it to the Sweet 16. I wouldn't say that, but I'll be curious to see who they draw in the first round. If it's a team I don't like, maybe I'll go for it. Obviously, that's yet to be determined. Find that out on Sunday night. I think the brackets are revealed at 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern, over on CBS. And then, like, SportsCenter is on during it. So they'll be providing coverage, but CBS is the main channel to watch. 6 p.m. Eastern is when the brackets are revealed. But so, I'll be curious to see who Valpo draws in the first round. Almost definitely won't be taking them 2 rounds. You know, I don't think I'll take them in the first round, but depends who the probable 3 or 4 seed that they match up with is. If I expect that 3 or 4 seed to lose in the second round anyway, maybe I'll pull the trigger. Just depends on matchups. You know, the best team doesn't win March Madness every year. It's based on who you match up with. You can match up poorly with a team in the Sweet 16, lose, but still be realistically the better team. In a 1-game series, anything can happen. Florida last year was the best overall team. They showed it during the regular season. They ran into a hot UConn team that pressured the heck out of them in the backcourt. And Napier and Boatwright just kind of took things over defensively and made clutch shots down the stretch. That's what led them to their title. Was UConn the best team in college basketball last year? I don't think so. I mean, I think they were a 7 seed going into the tournament last year. So, you know, anything can happen in a one-game series. Yeah, you obviously have to play extremely well to win the tournament, but the best team doesn't always win. So yeah, Valpo, I'll keep my eye on. I won't say Sweet 16, but maybe I'll take him around, depending on who that 3-4, maybe 5 seed is that they match up with in the first round. They shouldn't be a 15 or 16. Up next is... Did I go through? Oh, that's why. Okay. So next is Manhattan. Coming out of the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, which last year, I think it was last year. Yeah, last year they came out of this conference over Iona. And Iona was the better team in the regular season last year. Iona was the better team in the regular season this year. Iona still, I think they made the tournament last year. I want to say they did. This was actually a two-bid league last year. This year, it won't be. Iona's 26-8 this year. They're not going to make it. They were a better team last year. Manhattan was also a better team last year. I want to say Manhattan beat Oklahoma in the tournament last year. I want to say. I'm looking it up now because I'm extremely curious. But, of course, everything that comes up is 2015. There we go. Maybe. But, yeah, this Manhattan team this year is not as good as the one last year. Now to find it on here. Should be wonderful. I think it was a 4-13 matchup, though. Nope, it was North Dakota State that beat Oklahoma last year, so I'm wrong. But let's find this Manhattan team. What did they do last year? Oh, they were 13. They lost to Louisville in the first round. Then Louisville went on to beat St. Louis. Then Louisville went on to lose to Kentucky, which everyone did except for UConn. So Manhattan was a 13 last year. This year, they're probably not going to be a 13 again. Again, last year, they were better. This year, 19-13 overall. Offensively, they're nothing special. Rebounding, they ranked 286th in the country. They're 7-1 over the last 8, if that counts for something. At the same time, during the regular season, they got swept by Iona. They got swept by Ryder. They actually started the year... 4-8. They started the year 4-8. And they finished... 15-5. Started the year 4-8. Got swept by Ryder during the regular season. I think I'm out. Realistically, all we need to know about that team. They're not especially good at anything. Got about 15 minutes left. Got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to go. So I've got to kind of speed it up here. But Northern Iowa's this next team that I'll go through. Their team, they're one of two teams that I'll talk about tonight that have a shot at getting to the Sweet 16. We're 30-3 during the regular season, 16-2 in the Missouri Valley Conference. Whoever comes out of the Missouri Valley every year, again, it's like the Horizon, except basically better because UNI and Wichita State have been actually pretty damn good these last few years. but so Northern Iowa, coming into this week, they were ranked number 11 in the country, 30-3. There's a reason they're ranked number 11. It's not just because of the record. They're 30-3. Manhattan's 28-5. It's not as though Manhattan's that close to them. Northern Iowa is that much better. Not Manhattan. Valpo. But this UNI team, for the most part, they're a not as physical. I want to say they're a mini Virginia. They're definitely a better defensive team than offensive. They play at a slower pace for a reason. They shoot 48% from the field, which ranks 19th in the country. Rebounds per game, that's where they get hurt. They rank 320th. Now, some of that has to do with pace because you just don't have the same number of possessions as everyone else playing in college. They play at that slow of a pace, so total rebounds, the numbers will be down, especially when they themselves shoot a good percentage. So some of that has to do with that. Some of it is just not being a good rebounding team. Their leading rebounder is Seth Tuttle, who is also their leading scorer, who is also their leading assist man. He also shoots 42% from three, 61% from the field. He's pretty good. If you haven't heard of him, Northern Iowa, Seth Tuttle, he is 6'9". Actually, 6'8". Sorry, I lied. Didn't lie about the points, rebounds, assists leading the team. Averages 15, 6, and 3. He's a guy that you would want to pay attention to if you're watching Northern Iowa. He's the guy to watch. He's a senior, so I'm sure he'll get looks at the NBA. He's a non-defensive Scottie Pippen, if that makes sense. Obviously not to the level of Scottie Pippen, but he's of that build and ability in the sense that he can knock down three. He is longer. Again, leads the team in points, rebounds, and assists per game. It's basically all you need to know. So this Northern Iowa team isn't just a bunch of little scrubs that are seniors and have played together forever, and so they know that as a team they are better than teams that are more talented than them, but not necessarily as polished. There's a reason why Northern Iowa is 30-3. They're very solid. They're not going to beat themselves. And they have a star, so to say, in Seth Tuttle. Their second leading rebounder is only 6'6". Again, there's a reason why they rank 320th out of basically 350 D1 teams rebound. Their three losses: at VCU, when VCU was at full health, at VCU in double overtime. So that's, certainly not a bad loss, especially when VCU was 100% healthy. They lost at Evansville by 3. Evansville's not a good team, but on the road, lost by 3. Not that huge deal. And then their third loss came at Wichita State, February 28th. It was the last regular season game for both teams. Or actually, it might have just been Northern Iowa's last game. I think Wichita State had won more. But Northern Iowa went to Wichita State, lost by 14. What kind of sucks for Northern Iowa is that, yeah, they won the OVC, but, they beat Bradley in the first round. They beat Loyola Chicago in the second round, and then Illinois State in the third championship. Wichita State got bounced early. So would have been cool to see the two juggernauts in the conference battle it out. They're basically 2-3 seeds coming into conference tournament weekend. So it would have been cool to see, but unfortunately Wichita State didn't hold up their end of the deal on that one. But this Northern Iowa team, they should be a 3 seed. Depending on how the Big 12 goes, they're a number of teams that could be three seeds coming out of the Big 12, probably three, potentially. This Northern Iowa team's probably a three seed. They're probably not going to jump and be a two. And I think their 30-3 record, splitting with Wichita State during the regular season, you know, and just from an eye test, they're a legitimate team. They're not among the six or seven really good teams, but they're strong. If they got a three seed, they deserve it. So making the Sweet 16, I can absolutely see it. That's probably where I'll have them going, depending on the region, depending on the matchups, obviously, that they're in. Maybe Elite Eight. I wouldn't say Final Four. But my guess at this point would be Sweet 16 and then get bounced when a team has basically a full week to prepare for them, especially a team that is at least as talented as them. That's my prediction for Northern Iowa's a Sweet 16 appearance, which, you know, isn't spectacular, but it's nothing to laugh at, obviously. They're a very solid team. Next up is Robert Morris, who is 19-14. These kind of crappy teams I'm going to basically fly through because I only have about 8 minutes left. Robert Morris, 19-14, came out of the Northeast Conference, 12-6 during conference play. They weren't even the best team in the conference during the regular season. Nothing special offensively, not good rebounding team. Entered the tournament winning six straight, if you want to count that, but, you know, they're pulling any upsets in the tournament. Lafayette is next, 20-12 overall, coming out of the Patriot League, which typically the Patriot League, not so terrible. Over the last few years, five or so, the winner usually doesn't get slaughtered in the NCAA tournament. But this Lafayette team is 20-12. They went 9-9 in Patriot League play. Not the, so, yeah, 9-9 in Patriot League play. Basically all you need to know. They play at a high pace. They actually shoot it ninth best in the country. They shoot over 48% from the field. Rebounding-wise, they rank 316th. They're 20-12, 9-9 in Patriot League play. They went to West Virginia, lost by 27. Went to Kansas, lost by 27. Pretty much all you need to know. They're not going to pull an upset over a big dog. Wofford, kind of an interesting team because they're 28-6. At the same time, West Virginia also killed them in late December by 33 points. And then the very next game, Wofford went to Duke and lost by 29 points. So, yeah, they're 28-6. Yeah, they're 16-2 coming out of the Southern Conference. But they're not great offensively. And, you know, they went to NC State and actually won by a point. But outside of that, looking at tournament teams they played, that's the only tournament team they beat. They went to Stanford, lost by 15. And like I said, they went to West Virginia and Duke back-to-back, lost by 33 and 29, respectively. Not a serious contender. Even at 28-6, they'll get looked at. But for me, they might draw an 11-12 seed, maybe 13, and people will pick them blindly because they're Wofford, and so they have somewhat of a name recognition, and they're 28-6. They've won 3, 6, 7, 10, 13, 15 of their last 16 games. So they're a hot team, but at the same time, that's against Southern opponents. So, to me, not a serious contender despite the record. That's my thought on Wofford. North Dakota State is the... Actually, wait a minute. Hold on here. I skipped Belmont. Anyway, North Dakota State. Get to Belmont after. North Dakota State is 23-9 coming into the NCAA tournament. They won the Summit League, 12-4 in the Summit League. They beat South Dakota State. They ranked 333rd in assists per game. They're not great offensively. They're not good rebounding-wise. They went to Texas, lost by 35. Went to Iowa, lost by 31. Those are the two teams that they played that will be in the tournament, assuming Texas makes it, which could actually be a stretch after they basically choked against Iowa State tonight. So this North Dakota State team, again, 23-9 overall, special at anything. The two teams they played that were legit, they lost by at least 30. I'm not impressed. I'm not taking them one round. Belmont, 22-10. They're a solid offensive team. They've been there before. But, again, they're 22-10. 11-5 coming out of the Ohio Valley, which typically has been Murray State the last few years. The Ohio Valley hasn't been a terrible conference. Murray State was 25th in the country coming into this, 16-0 in Ohio Valley league play. Conference final run rolls through, Belmont upsets them by a point. And Murray State, even at 27-5, being ranked 25th in the country, supposedly according to ESPN's Joe Lunardi, is a team that is on the outs looking in. Maybe the NCAA tournament selection committee puts them in. I think they should. But this Belmont team upset them, 22-10 overall. 11-5 in league play, so they're not special. Offensively, they do a good job. Rebounding-wise, not so much. You know, a smaller team. Went to VCU, lost by 27. Went to Butler, lost by 11. I'm not that impressed with this Belmont team. Years past, I've liked Belmont. This year, I'm not taking them one round. Team to get through, the 12th of 12, is Gonzaga. I've only got about a minute to run through Gonzaga. So it kind of leads me to pushing you guys to look onto my blog, which I plan on getting out tomorrow morning/afternoon. Again, over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. You can follow me personally at Kid Cunny, KIDCUNI. You can follow the show at RLSN Basketball. I'll be sure to tweet out the link when I get done with it tomorrow, but I'll be running through Gonzaga, basically all you need to know about them. Right now they sit 7th in the country nationally. They're 32-2. They beat BYU by 16 in the conference final. BYU will be a tournament team. I don't think that's much of a question, even though Joe Lunardi thinks it's going to come down the wire. I think they'll be at least playing in that first four for sure. I would be shocked if they didn't get a bid. But so this Gonzaga team, their two losses were at Arizona by 3 in overtime and BYU by 3. So this Gonzaga team's legit. Again, I'll be writing all about them. You can check that blog out tomorrow over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. It's been fun running through these 12 teams. Gonzaga and Northern Iowa, the only two that really stood out for me so far, but I'll be giving the lowdown on Gonzaga tomorrow again. It's been fun, guys. Gotta love March Madness. Plan on doing a show from today, you know, basically daily about March Madness. So it's been fun.